Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you after 12 years, and I must say, it's different. When we were here 12 years ago, there were about 40 people here in the English congregation, and so you obviously have grown as a congregation, and God has blessed you. Today, I want to talk to you about the verses of Scripture that we've already read, and we're going to start with the passage from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus says to Peter, after Peter has confessed that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says to Peter, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." I want to talk to you about your theme for 2012, which is building the family of God. Although 2012 is almost over, and perhaps you've heard a couple messages on that theme already, I felt that it would be good for us to focus on it again and to focus on it primarily as we look at this verse. Because as we talk about building the family of God, we are the people of God, but we are the church. We're talking about building the church. And one of the first things that we see is that word church, I've got it in bold here. And when you think of the word church, you might think of different things. You might think of a building. You might think of an institution. I wonder what Jesus was thinking when he was promising Peter that he would build his church. Whenever we hear a word, we will filter it through various filters. Maybe it will be based on the way that we've experienced that word. Maybe it's based on our culture. Maybe it's based on our geography, where we live. Like, for example, if I were to say the word falcon. Now, in California, if I say the word falcon, most people are going to think of, you know, the falcons that come swooping out of the sky at 200 miles an hour, and, you know, they are birds of prey, the peregrine falcon. But if we're in Atlanta and I say the word falcon, you might be thinking of the dirty birds. You might be thinking of the guys that are going to be playing today and having a great football season, by the way. Congratulations to all you Falcon fans on a very good season this year. And so maybe you're going to think of the word falcon that way. Growing up, I thought of the word falcon as my grandfather's old Ford Falcon. So some old-timers are shaking their head. They remember that car, you know, this old Ford Falcon. And I think they've tried to revive it, and there's a newer Falcon now. But so you think of the word based on your context, based on your experience, based on your culture. Now, when we think of the word church, we want to understand, what was Jesus talking about when he was talking about building a church? When I was 17 years old, I had a chance to go to Guatemala. This was my first summer mission trip, and I loved it. It was, at that time and for many years afterwards, the greatest summer of my life. I went with 30 teenagers. They were from all over the United States, some from Canada, and even one from Scotland. And when we got to Guatemala, the church members were digging the trenches for the foundation of a church building. They were pouring cement into it, and they had prepared several cement blocks, cinder blocks, for the construction of the church. We got there with 30 people, and 8 weeks later, when we left Guatemala, the walls were up, the roof was on the rafters, and a church was built. Now, it wasn't quite as big as this. It wasn't a big, grand-sized church like this. It was a church for about 100 to 200 people. But I was delighted to have that opportunity to go into the mountains of Guatemala and to construct this church. But I didn't really build a church. I built a building. Jesus wasn't saying he's going to build a building. He was saying he was going to build a church. He uses a word that means those who are called out, a people. People who are called out, a gathering. When we talk about the way that Jesus plans to build his church, we should look also at some of the instructions that he gave to build the church, because he says that he was going to build his church. We can look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which was another scripture that we read. And it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria to the ends of the earth. You see that Jesus is building a movement, not a building. He's building something that's going to be dynamic, something that's going to have force, something that's going to be progressing, advancing. Even when he's talked about it in Matthew, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, the gates of death, that place of death, will not be able to stand against it. Now, in the ancient times when Jesus lived, the cities had walls. And each of those walled cities had gates for people to enter, to go in and out. And the purpose of those gates were to keep people out if they were attacking the city. Now, what Jesus says is that when he builds his church, the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not be able to overcome it. That means that the church is not stationary with hell attacking the church, but the church is on the offensive. The church is advancing. The church is going up against the gates, trying to burst the gates down, trying to break into the hellish parts of your life and mine, trying to break in to the hellish parts of cities, countries, nations, systems. And when the church is advancing and the church is going against the places of darkness, like the church is supposed to, Jesus promises when the church is moving like that, the gates of hell cannot withstand the movement of the church. That's a picture of the church. The church is a movement. The church is not a place. Now, this is a grand church. As I said, I was here 12 years ago, and then it was much smaller, and I'm delighted to see how Christ has built his church here. It's amazing to me. It's wonderful. It's exciting to me to see how God has built this church. And I want to, at this time of Thanksgiving, to just encourage you to give thanks. Give thanks to what God has done, that he has blessed you with this property, that he has blessed you with this building, that he has built up this church so that you can have a witness in this community. And you see how when Jesus was instructing his disciples as the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were going to have a witness in their community. Their community was Jerusalem. And then they were going to advance beyond Jerusalem, and they were going to go into Judea, which is the surrounding area, the Fulton County, Gwinnett County. They're going to get into greater Atlanta and the metropolitan area, that the church would be moving out. Then it says that they're also going to go into Samaria. Now, when Jesus said that to his disciples, they might not have liked that, because the disciples didn't really like going into Samaria. In fact, one time they went around Samaria. They didn't want to go through Samaria. One time, of course, they had to go through it. They didn't like the Samaritans. They didn't feel safe in Samaria. For you, ACCN, what's your Samaria? What are the places nearby that are the places that you don't really want to go to? Who are your Samaritans? Who are the people nearby that you might look down upon, you might despise, you might not feel safe with them? Well, if the church is moving in the direction that Jesus wants to move his church, then the church goes into the Samaria of the greater Atlanta area as well. Now, I've heard good stories from Jonathan, your youth pastor, who's at a wedding, so I didn't get to meet him face-to-face, but we had some phone conversations, and he's told me about how the church is doing missions work and going into apartment buildings and doing ministries there, going into many different places, and I applaud you, and I'm very grateful that this church is taking this scripture seriously, and it's going not just into the comfortable parts of your Jerusalem, but into the parts where you're stretched out of your comfort zone and going into the places where the gospel needs to advance, into places of darkness, into places of hurt, into places of hatred, so that Christ can transform those places too. That's the picture. That's the blueprint that Jesus has as he builds his church. If we're going to continue to see how Christ wants to build his church, we also have to look at his building plan. And you see that his building plan is to have the church advance through people. Jesus said, I will build my church. And one of the ways that he wants to build his church is explained to us in Ephesians chapter 4, where he gives gifts to the church. And some of these gifts are people. This is one of the passages where the gifts of the church are the pastors, the teachers, the apostles, the prophets. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And it says here, and it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Earlier today, we were praying for your church, that God would give you a pastor, that God would call a pastor to your English congregation, to your Chinese congregation. That's an important and crucial prayer that I encourage you to keep on praying. But I want to encourage you to remember that Christ has already got that. He's already got that covered. He's the one that gives the people to the church to build up the body. He's the one that calls the right person to a congregation to build up the body. But I want you to note that on God's building plan, although the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists, and you have evangelists in your congregation too. I had the opportunity after the Mandarin service to meet one of the professors at Georgia Tech and how he is an evangelist who's brought many students from the university to come to the Mandarin congregation, and maybe some of you are in the English congregation, and just how he has been encouraging people to come to Christ, doing that work of pre-evangelism, that work of evangelism. God is using the various leaders and the various people that you have to build up his church. But I want you to note that according to this, for me as a pastor, my job description is not to do all the work of building up the church. My job is to equip the people of the church for the service so that the body of Christ can be built up. Think of it this way. I think of it how the plan is that it starts with Christ. He will build his church, but then he builds his church through me, and then it goes to we. I'm not presuming anything about the candidacy or anything like that, but I'm just saying that that's the job description of a pastor, is that the pastor gives the ministry away to the people. The pastor isn't the person that you have to depend upon to do all the ministry, because Christ is building his church through the people. Romans chapter 12 gives us another picture of the gifts of the church. And the gifts are not described so much as people who are given to the church to build it up, but they're actually described as gifts and abilities and attributes. In Romans chapter 12, the passage that we read, it encouraged us not to think too highly of ourselves, but to recognize that we are all members of one body. And he says it this way, just as each one of us has one body and all the members, with many members, and all these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We all belong to each other. We're all part of this inner working of what God is doing in the church. And we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Each one of you has been gifted by the Holy Spirit with various gifts. Gifts that are intended to be used by the Spirit for the building up of this body. Gifts that are intended by the Spirit to develop this church, to grow this church. As we look at this passage, I want to remind you that, again, it was Christ. Christ who builds the church. It's not me, and it's really not you. It's Christ working in us. It's Christ working through us. It's Christ working his will in and around us. I told you that I had the opportunity to build the church when I was 17 in Guatemala. Recently, I had the opportunity to go back there. Just a few years ago, I had a chance to go back to this little mountain area outside the town of Totonicapán in Guatemala. When we went there, the church was one of the very few buildings in this area called Nemasak. Everything else was cornfields. We lived in a little mud brick house. 30 teenagers moved into the home of one of the church members, and we lived on their floor, just sleeping bag after sleeping bag after sleeping bag on the dirt floor. Imagine that. Imagine that we had, you know, this church was built by 30 people from outside, from another country. Imagine 30 Guatemalans were coming here, and so Leonard decides, okay, well, we got to have a place for these people to stay. So he goes to live with Victor, and you know, Leonard and Victor are going to, you know, share their house together, and then he gives up his house for 30 teenagers. Would you dare? Would you dare even let 30 teenagers live in your house for a whole summer? You know, what's going to happen to it? What's it going to look like when you get it back? Now, we had the opportunity to go there and to construct a building. So we went there and we constructed that building. Then several years later, I went back to the same place. Now it had changed a lot. There are many buildings all around. I didn't have an address for this place because when we built it, it really was just kind of a church on a country road. And so we went into Guatemala, and I had lost contact with the missionaries because shortly after we were there, there was a civil war. And so because of the civil war, the missionaries had to leave the country. And we were concerned. What's going to happen to the church? Will the church still grow? Will the church still be there when we come back? And so when I went there, through my broken Spanish, I talked to people in the hotel and said, hey, do you know about a little church up in the hill in Nemasak? You got to go down the road and past the public baths and up the road. And the night clerk that I was talking to said, I think I know that church. I think I know that church. And he offered to come back the next morning and to ride along with us and to drive us up to Nemasak. And so we got up to Nemasak, and I'm looking around, and it looks completely different. Of course, we have no address. He doesn't know exactly which church it is. There's about four or five of them up there. And he starts asking around, and we ask people, and finally we find the church. And we go back to the lot where it was. Some people guide us back there, and the church was gone. Now, I was really disappointed because it had always been my dream that I would someday go back there with my wife and show her the church that I built. And so my wife was with me, my kids were with me, my parents were with me. We had gone and served in some orphanages and some other areas of Guatemala and by the city dumped in Guatemala City. And this was kind of a little side excursion to go see the church that I built when I was a teenager. But it was gone. And then they told me the story. We had to tear it down because it was too small. And now we're building a new church. That church that could only hold 100 or 200 had now grown. And it was too small. I was disappointed not to be able to see my building, but I was excited to see that in spite of the Civil War, in spite of the missionaries having to leave, in spite of not having all the people that you would want to see have in place to support the church had grown. Because, as Christ said, he will build his church. And so it had been leveled, and across the street, they had taken the roofing materials and converted those temporarily into walls to make a bigger church, and they were constructing a new three-story facility that was going to house their new church, because Christ was at work. He was building his church. And when we look at this passage, I want to encourage you, because I do believe that I can see Christ is at work here. And he is building his church. He's building his church as each one of you allow the movement of the Holy Spirit to come upon you and in you and through you, and bringing your gifts to encourage others, using your gifts to teach others, using your gifts to go into the dark places, into the Samaria places, using what he has put upon your heart, the burdens that he's placed upon your heart, and following that movement and that direction and that motion of the Holy Spirit. He is building his church. And because Christ is the builder of the church and not a person, you can have great confidence. As the scriptures say in Philippians, we just turn there. I didn't give them this scripture, but Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I can testify, God began a good work in you. When I was here before, you had 40 people in another building, small rented facility. And that same God who started that work in you is the one that you can bank on, the one that you can trust, the one that you can believe will build your church. And because he's the one that's building the church, you can have great hope. You can have great confidence. You don't have to worry. He's got you in his hands. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the builder of the church, that you're the one that's going to be answering the prayers of the people to call a pastor to this place. But even without a pastor in place, you're still building the church, just like you built that church in Guatemala without the missionaries. Lord, that through the gifts of the people who come here and lead as worship leaders and Sunday school teachers and youth advisors and counselors, that you're building your church. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill them with your Spirit, equip them for the ministry that you're calling them to do, and that there would be a great movement, a great revival that happens in this church as you begin to lead this church forward, that you will lead it into its Jerusalem, into its Judea, into its Samaria, and that through the ministry of this church, that the very ends of the earth will be touched. And we have great confidence that this is going to happen because you are the builder of the church. And we have great confidence in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.